love me, yeah they love me. First love yourself. For that, and God we trust. Trust me, I don't trust myself. Your jewelry, I get it too.
Welcome back to It Is What It Is. This episode is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. The app is an easy way to make some cash just by making picks on your favorite players. Underdog is available in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, and New York, just to name a few. Make sure to support the show by hitting the link in the bio and downloading the Underdog Fantasy app. They'll also match your first deposit up to $100, and you get a special pick when you sign up. I'm Treasure Wilson, aka Stat Baby, along with your host Mace and soon to be Cam. How you feeling?
How you doing, Stat?
I'm good. I'm actually in a great mood. How are you?
What happened?
I was cooking a little plate, learning to cook something new. So,
in a what, good mood. Ramen?
No, not ramen. That's weak. There's like two things that if you cook, people say you can't cook. And one of those things is pasta. Like if you present somebody some Alfredo or some pasta, then you cannot cook.
For real?
Yes. I feel like
what
that's like
is really good though.
I don't care. Alfredo Warriors is a thing. Like, do not bring out a plate of Alfredo and say you can cook.
You can't go with that. That's just like the girls that says no, what do you call it? No Cheesecake Factory.
No Cheesecake,
right?
Factory, yeah.
And then I see flag. Kanye and his wife at Cheesecake.
They're at Cheesecake?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Paparazzi called.
I didn't know
them.
That. And I'm not surprised. Cheesecake is good though. So like I don't
but
understand why
it's
ever argued.
It's pasta.
If you get, first of all, cheesecake has plenty of options. If you get pasta, the pasta there is good too. But I try to do like the steak. Like I just try to do different stuff. They have good.
You
try to
go on the expensive side of it.
No,
all.
I just like steak cheesecake. But the pasta is good too. I like the Alfredo there too. But yeah, you can't bring a plate of Alfredo and say you can cook. That never works. Okay.
That's really interesting. I don't know why it's interesting, but it's interesting.
It's the truth.
Because I normally cook pasta. Does lasagna count? Lasagna, is that?
Lasagna is spicing it up. It's like, okay, you took the time to put down the layers, you know, make sure you made the ground beef right.
I make the best lasagna. Anybody watching that knows this, know I make the best lasagna.
Everybody that watching knows this. I learn something new about you every single day. I'm waiting to try your lasagna now because I never knew that. But we'll do a plate off and see what we got.
Yeah, Cam could cook. Cam could really cook. I didn't know it.
Really?
One time I went to his house. He was like, yo, I'm a cook. I was like, No, Diddy. But he was like, yo, I'm a chef. Some burgers. It was burgers, but you could tell he knew how to cook by the taste of the
spice it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm dead.
Okay. Not spice it up. It's niggas.
Yeah.
ain't no spicing it up with niggas.
No, I feel you. Okay, well, speaking of spicing it up, I guess the Bills decided to spice it up because they traded Stephon Diggs to the Texans. The Bills received a 2025 second round pick. Do you think, one, this decision makes sense? And two, is this a good move for the Bills?
I'm just going to go on the record and say, because you know I'm the expert. That's why they got me here. They want me to tell the truth. People are looking for this information. When you think of CJ Stroud, right? This is all I was thinking about. You know how they call him Andre 3000?
Yes.
We're going to have to call him CJ 5000.
Okay. Oh, why is that?
That's all I was thinking when I was looking at this. I say, yo, CJ Stroud is going to go crazy with this addition to the team. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he had 4,000 yards without Diggs, you put Diggs on either side, and this turns into a nightmare. I mean, we're looking at the rookie of the year. And I mean, offensively, and with him adding Diggs to that offense, they already was just this close.
Right.
So when you say, what does it mean? It means everything. You talk about being aggressive on the offseason. Mm-hmm. This is as aggressive as the Texans could have been.
Mm-hmm.
They made some other major moves, but to think about them getting Diggs, and according to the report, they only gave up a second round pick for him. A second round pick? That's
crazy.
That's a steal.
Right.
Unless there's something wrong with Diggs and we don't know. I was trying to make sense of this.
Right.
Like, why would the Bills do this?
Right. Like, is he already
injured? They must have the eye on somebody else because I know they got, you know, the you know, the Texans even got back a six round pick or something like that. But this is, you talk about a steal. This is,
yeah,
this is red handed.
Yeah, definitely a steal.
Yeah.
So my thing about it is previously I was saying how I felt like the Bills should have been more aggressive during free agency trades. I feel like they were the main team that should have been making more trades because, you know, they're just right there. They have just enough to get to that next level and they're not doing the means necessary to make sure that they can take it to that next level, which is like the Bills team, like, y'all know OJ would be out here geeks if they make good decisions in the offseason, but I feel like they're not making enough good decisions in the offseason because why would you get rid of Stephon Diggs? And then they also got rid of Gabe Davis, so they have other two people competing for wide receiver one, which doesn't make sense to me right now at this point in time because that was one of Josh Allen's go-tos. I do think maybe possibility because there are some wide receivers still available with one of them being T. Higgins from the Bengals. He didn't really get to shine as much as he could have being, you know, under Jamar Chase. He is franchise tag, so if they make a trade for him, I think that would be a good fit for him to go because, I mean, Bills have some options, but I don't think they have a solidified option. And I just don't think that this is the time to not being have solidified options for Josh Allen to even be able to throw to. But then again, for somebody like Khalil, this is the opportunity for him to show like, hey, like I'm built for this. I can be wide receiver one. Pass it to me and it's good for him. On the other end, though, like you said, regarding the Texans,
yeah,
I just feel like they're so lit right now. Like they're giving, you know, CJ Stroud the necessary pieces he needs. He's already great, right?
Yeah.
They're giving him more necessary pieces to be able to take him to that next level, which is dope considering he is a rookie quarterback and all the accomplishments that he has made. So I'm excited for the Texans have a lot to be excited about, which they didn't have that much to be excited about, you know, past couple of years. But right now, good position.
Who do you think is going to have a better time? Do you think Khalil or Diggs?
Because
I didn't even put Khalil in the equation. I was more so thinking Mac Hollins and Kurt Sanders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are the two I was thinking about in that new group of receivers. Yeah.
I mean, they're going to have to battle it out. And being in the Bills situation to have to battle out for your position that's not guaranteed to you, that's already the worst position to be in. I would hate that to be like, oh man, now I got to prove myself to show that I can have this spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Diggs is going to be lit over at the Texans. One, because, I mean, it would make sense for them to make him his go-to as long as his chemistry is good with Stroud, but also like environment, they have a lot to look forward to.
Yeah,
position.
And it's
like,
a better city to live in. If you go, no disrespect.
I wouldn't know.
Shout out to Griselda, shout out to Armani, Caesar, you know. But if you can go from Buffalo to Houston, that sounds like a really good flight.
That sounds lit to me.
That sounds lit to me.
So yeah. So that sounds like a great situation. I mean, we'll see what happens. CJ Stroud is lit over there and they're giving him more key pieces. I'm curious to see what else they're going to do for that team, but I guess we'll see with time. Okay, so we are now joined with Cam. Cam, how you doing this morning?
Good, yo. How you doing, yo? My bad. Murder, what up?
I can't hear him. I need my head.
Yeah, I don't even have a little bit. Oh, yeah.
What's good?
Dang, of course. Always got...
I can sense he's saying something crazy already.
I don't own the Yankees.
They
man.
Moved your boy from Buffalo to Houston. This is a steal.
For Houston, it definitely is. But you know, this is what happens when. What happened is, you know, the Texans is really smart on the Texans' part, man. Getting him. But I really believe they just get tired of Stephon Diggs crying in the offseason. Every offseason, it's like speculation. He don't want to be there. He don't like it there. Him and Josh Allen got a problem. And they just said, fuck it. I remember Stephen A. Smith, before the season started last August or something like that, was saying Stephon Diggs said he doesn't want to be in Buffalo. And Stephon Diggs... like almost cursed Stephen A. out. Talking about, you don't know what you're talking about. You bugging out. I love Buffalo. I think I said Baltimore last time, but Buffalo. And believe me, if he wasn't crying, they wouldn't let him go. You know, Stephon Diggs isn't somebody, an overnight talent. He's really good. So for them to let him go, and he's like probably the number one receiver on Buffalo, had to be some problems. But I picked up where Stat was saying how this is a steal from the Texans, and it definitely is, man. It definitely is. So congratulations to the Texans, and Buffalo must have something up the sleeve. That's what I would say if they let him go. They must know something we don't.
Yeah, I figured there was something wrong with Diggs that we don't know. There's no way to make that happen.
Yeah, it's something that we don't know that will come out, pause, that we'll find out about later.
I just feel like, yeah, the Texans are just having such a great like time for them right now. Like, cause nobody, I'm not gonna say nobody. A lot of people typically aren't Texans fans, but I feel like collectively we're all rooting for them because they're just in a good situation and proving themselves. So it's like happy for them. Curious to see what they continue to do with their new team. Okay, so
you root for anybody that's convenient.
You didn't say that.
You turned it into murder.
Did not say that because I still root for the same team.
Yeah, but you know how to do it now. It was nobody but the Steelers and the Miami.
It still
Heat.
Is.
But now you're not a finesse. You're not a finesse like you've been sitting next to Mace too long. You sit there and he's like, they're my team, but all of us got to root for the Texans because now it's a love story. It's Cinderella.
It kind of is, though. It kind of is. Yeah. Not even trying to be funny. It really is. See, this is one of those episodes I'm going to bring back when the season comes and be like, who said Texans are good? Like, because it is a love story, honestly.
Nobody said that the Texans aren't good. We're saying this because the Texans are good.
Yeah.
And that's why all of a sudden... You got to find a way to root for them. Yo. Oh, yeah. No, I think we're all Texan fans. No, we're all not. Stat. They're good. We like them. They're good. They're good. And, yeah, it's cool. They got a black coach and a black quarterback, young man. Got good morals. You know, end of the day, he giving hitchhikers a ride home when they need it. All type of shit. That's a good young man in quarterback position. But we all don't have to love him, Stat. You're bugging. I bet you in Dallas they don't like him. Because right now, to be honest with you, my personal opinion, they may be the best team in Texas.
Might be, or you want to say they are?
Yeah. Is he pulling a mirror right now? They might
right
be.
Now, right now, right now, I'm going to say they are. The Cowboys always look good on paper. But they always go home, too, first round, if they make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, the Texans are definitely better than the Cowboys.
Yeah. So I'm saying might be because when everybody look Cowboys on paper, oh, Cowboys is good. They got this year. And it never works out. So for what the Texans have done last year in a short period of time with a new quarterback, new coach, new staff, et cetera, I think it's great because, listen, 3 years ago, nobody knew where the Texans was going. You got rid of Deshaun Watson. I can't even think of the receiver that had with the Arizona name who was dumb nice. His number one option. He was super duper nice. They got rid of him and niggas was like, yo, what the fuck are the Texans doing, B? They bugging the fuck out. Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre good looking, Nick. I appreciate it. Thanks, Nick. Good looking. Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins is a monster. So they got rid of him, then got rid of Deshaun Watson. It's like, yo, bro, what the fuck are y'all doing? And they made a great comeback for us real quick.
Now let's discuss Bronny James. He's officially entered the transfer portal. Do you guys think that he's making a good decision? And is there any school in particular that you guys think that he should look into?
Yeah, I'm going to let Cam start. This is a Ohio issue.
It's an issue. It's an issue. This is an issue. Look, this nigga makes it an issue. This is this Ohio issue. So you solve it. Yo, when I first seen this, I had a bunch of different thoughts, but what I thought about is this. It's a couple of different scenarios. I'm not absolutely sure what's right, what's wrong. I haven't talked to anybody about it. So only thing I could do off the top of my head is a couple of things. I haven't been keeping up with USC basketball, at least USC's men's basketball, because I definitely was watching a woman. Shout out to Juju Watkins. But when I seen this, I was like, it's a couple things. Either somebody played really good for USC last year in the guard position, and they was like, yo, bro, we going to be honest with you, man. We thought you were going to play this year. We might have our point guard for the next year or two. And they just got familiar with who they had already. Or the next thing is they could have been drafting a 12th grader from the time he'd been in 10th, 11th grade. Because everybody thought that Bronny was just going to do 1 year and go to the NBA. Nobody knew exactly, you know, he's going to have the health problem he had. They probably taking it easy on him coming back. So USC might have been drafting somebody from 11th grade, like, okay, we only got Bronny 1 year. This nigga coming in next year. And maybe drafting somebody. I'm not sure. I haven't done the due diligence on this question, but we got to see who's coming into USC this year. Mm-hmm. And we got to see who did work for USC last year in the guard position, because that'll probably be the only way he's leaving. Because either you got your guard that did work already, or you got a monster coming in. Pause. So I'm not sure yet, but that can be it, because everybody thought Bronny was going to be one and done. I did. I thought no matter what, he's going to be one and done, but he didn't play a lot this year, so he got to go back to school. But those are my two opinions on why he may be entering the transfer portal. What you think, Myrtle?
I must say that even in the short time that he was out there, he didn't look comfortable at all, you know, so I don't know how much of that is he went through something, but he never seemed like he was really just comfortable out there. You know, when you get to these kind of programs, they don't have a long window to wait for you. They don't have a long window to wait. I thought last year he should have went to Ohio State. That was the thing that I said. Family got the big house out there, you know. But, you know, the experts are always right, Cam. I'm glad you went first so I could share what I wanted to say. The experts are always right, Cam. If he goes to Ohio State as a McDonald All-American, by halfway into Ohio State, we would have been talking about what team is he going to. But, you know, talent is best served in environments that can celebrate that talent. I think this was doomed to fail, because he went in there to play behind the number one player in the country, which was Isaiah Collier, which was the point guard. So if you go to McDonald's and you're a point guard, why would you go to a school that has the McDonald All-American and number one player in the country at your position? That's just something I know you wouldn't have done, Cam. I know I wouldn't have done it. If there's somebody already there going to this school and they're the number one player in the country, I'm not going to play behind that person. Pause. And then when I think about the next year coming up, I think it will be even more pressure on him to play at that USC system. So I think it's great that he's picking a new city and a new university to go to. I wish him all the best. And I'm going to save my other comments for when Mikey Williams come back.
Fair. Okay, so Ronnie did appear.
Go ahead. What I would say to that is this, is that that's a great point, Mason. I can't even really argue with him going to Ohio State. And obviously you've done some homework on who's there and who's not. And I haven't done that homework. But what I will say is this, when you got your father being LeBron James and you got Rich Paul and Maverick Carter in your corner, you don't just make these decisions.
Yeah.
Things are talked about behind the scenes. Like you said, he could have went to any school in the country. Mm-hmm. So for his father to help him sort out, or Rich Paul, and I'm not saying Rich Paul is involved, or Maverick Carter, and these guys have great basketball minds and put people in the proper positions. It's not by accident you go to USC. I know you want to stay home and stay close to home and everything else, but I don't think this happens if he doesn't have that cardiac arrest situation. He may not be comfortable. You're absolutely right. And and like you said, you don't want to come off wrong and seem insensitive, but it does seem a little bit insensitive because you can't just take that for granted. We actually seen people die on the court and not lifetime. So I'm not saying your assessment is wrong, but you don't know exactly how that kid is feeling. And maybe he may feel better this year, but you're right. I don't think he felt comfortable out there at all. And I don't think I had anything to do with the system. Just my personal opinion. I'm not saying your opinion isn't right. I'm just giving my personal opinion. Is that he didn't look comfortable. He didn't look comfortable playing basketball. Yeah. Not just in the USC system. He just didn't look comfortable. And when you pass out in the court and go through cardiac arrest and you feeling fine, just me personally, if I was put in that position too, I'm like, yo, you may be thinking, don't pass out. Don't pass out. You don't know where somebody's mental is at. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to look past that and act like that's not a big deal. But I'm not saying your assessment is wrong either.
Which part would you deem as insensitive?
Because what you said in the beginning, you said it. I don't want to seem insensitive before you even started. But some people may take that as insensitive. So that's why I was just saying it comes off a little bit insensitive, but I'm not disagreeing with your assessment. It just I'm saying what you're saying could be 100% right, but I'm not going to just throw away the fact that he had a cardiac arrest either.
Oh yeah. I thought I acknowledged that. I said he had some trouble with his chest and his heart, right?
Yeah.
So that's maybe why it happened. I mean, but if you're accessing, what do you think about this him entering to the portal? You have to acknowledge how he played this year. I mean, when you go on the court,
he didn't really play a lot. Actually, he didn't get a lot of minutes. If we my computer's uploading stat, you could check out his minutes or what he averaged per minute. I'm not sure. All I'm saying is this. I don't want to seem like I'm disagreeing with you because I would love to argue with you. Ain't no problem. But when the first thing you said is you ain't want to come off insensitive. And I just was saying that some people may look at that as insensitive. And I just think that you're giving your opinion. So that's why I was it just may seem like that. But you're here to tell the truth, right?
If you get on the court, we got to address basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, so he played. Yeah,
exactly.
Sorry, just to answer you guys' question, he averaged like 19 minutes, played 25 games, and then averaged 4.8 points, 2.8 rebounds, and 2.1.
19 minutes
That's less than a half, though. It was 20 minutes and a half.
You play one half, killer. What I'm trying to say is if you play 19 minutes, I'm just speaking of facts. Let's take Bronny out of it. Let's say we're talking about George Foreman that plays basketball, George Foreman. And he has, let's say, what's the numbers? Because all you do is multiply the numbers times two. If you got 4.8 and you played 19 minutes, then we multiply that and it's 38 minutes. So let's say you played 38 minutes and then you would have 9.6.
Well, even if you don't multiply, I do think 19 minutes is a significant amount to be able to show.
19 minutes is, I wasn't sure. 19 minutes is a significant amount. But you're right. I just didn't think he looked comfortable at all. Just my personal opinion. But I didn't disagree with what you're saying, but I'm not going to take out the fact that he had cardiac arrest right before the season started. I'm just not going to ignore that.
No, we're not. We're definitely holding that on the table. Like, I'm one of those people that I believe two things could be true at the same time, where it's like, yes, there was something wrong, and yes, you were uncomfortable. That would go along with why you were uncomfortable, because something was wrong. So even when he transfer, that's going to be the elephant in the room. Are you okay? So he's going to have to make sure that people feel like you're okay, because if you're not well, you got to remember this same thing happened with another NBA legend son, right? That happened with Shaquille O'Neal's son. And because of that, people are like, okay, what's going on here? I'm not going to add anything to it, but it is a sensitive thing, but it's also a thing that when somebody is hurt, people don't like to select that and use their draft pick on that. So he's going to have to make people feel comfortable that I am 100%. That's all I'm really saying.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, my opinion, USC men's basketball just didn't play that well this year. They were ninth in the Pac-12. But the question going around, and I'm just curious, right? Because mm-hmm. we've had a lot of highlights on HBCUs.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that that is an option that Bronny should be looking at, or just any college as a whole? Because that's been a big discussion.
I don't like HBCU for him, you know, because of he's such a high profile kid that me being a person that went to a HBCU is that it could be really tough, you know, being in the HBCU because they're going to use it to their benefit, but they're also going to use it against you when they need to, you know, like, what are you doing here? But then when they can take advantage of you, it's like, come on, bro, why you can't do this? You already rich. So it's like either way, it's a lose-lose in that kind of environment for a person like Bronny James. Unless he's surrounded with other other great players that came out of the same system. I think this was just a debacle with USC because they had two McDonald All-Americans. And they had another guy that was highly touted before that. So they had the pieces there to get the job done, and they performed very poorly. They thought not only was Bronny one and done, but Isaiah was supposed to be one and done. He might still be leaving, but I wouldn't leave with the season that they had.
Okay. And then, Cam, what do you think?
I'm not sure. Like, I like Mason's right, but at the same time, it's like we see the success that Deion had at HBCU. If you're going to go perform, you're going to perform, and no matter where he goes, the eyes are going to be on him. So what Mason's referring to is outside of school, outside of basketball,
yeah.
Basically. You know, what he's talking about, the stuff that goes on outside of basketball, like, no disrespect to Jackson State and nothing like that. That's my niggas. But I remember they had Deion mowing the field himself. Deion was like, I can't wait for niggas, man. First game Deion had, he got back to the locker room and his shit was stolen out the locker room.
Oh, man.
First game. As soon as he get back to the locker room, his shit is gone. So I'm not saying that's every HBCU, but I understand where Mason's coming from. You. HBCUs are talented, very talented, and they don't get the recognition that they need. And with Bronny going to any HBCU is going to get more than the recognition he needs. The odds are going to be on him. So I'm not sure if that's the right place to go, but wherever he go next, it better be the right place. I know that because, like May said earlier, you're not going to get a lot more chances because that's the one thing I do agree with May said. You're going to have to prove that you healthy. And especially not just with your next school, if you want to go to the next level, that's always going to be a question until you play about 2 years straight without any problems.
Yeah, and I wish him the best because I definitely want to see him succeed. I definitely want to echo that.
I just want to clarify that I do support HBCUs. I mean, they gave, you know, a lot of us opportunities when we weren't getting opportunities elsewhere, and they do have excellent programs. But for Bronny, I think it just initially comes down, I think that he should go somewhere out of LA. I think he needs to be put in a new situation around different people, not being, you know, around where he grew up. I think always taking yourself out of where you were and going somewhere else is just a great way to like kind of jumpstart things, yeah. Be around different people. So I just think situation-wise, that'd be a great thing, yeah, for him to look into.
I was thinking Ohio State would have been perfect, yeah, because it would have been celebrated. You know, like you're going to blossom where you have the opportunity to blossom. Mm-hmm. Very few people can blossom where they don't have the opportunity and they just make the opportunity, take the opportunity. Everybody can't do that. Mm-hmm. Just a rare breed of people that could do that. Most times you prosper where you're allowed to prosper.
Mm-hmm. And then, because you started, but I want to make sure before we move on, mm-hmm, to the next question.
I mean, it depends. Both of y'all are kind of saying something different. Like you saying, take yourself out of the situation, and Mason saying, celebrate. I don't know if it's a catch 22. I don't know. Y'all both had good points, but I don't know whose side I'm on, because just you talking about get out your environment. I think he know more people in Ohio than he do in California. Mm-hmm. You go to Ohio, it's going to be crazy out there. Even though Ohio State probably about an hour and 20 minutes from Akron, hour 30 minutes, them niggas is coming. Like, don't get it fucked up because LeBron and Rich Paul and Maverick moved to L.A. Now, everybody's still out there. So cousins, aunties, mama love, so everybody's out there still. So at the end of the day, I'm not sure if it'd be a good thing or a bad thing, because it's going to be more pressure to me, or if he's not comfortable playing in front of everybody sometime, or if he needs that support. Maybe he needs to be around his grandmother, his aunts, his uncles, his cousins, etc. So I'm not sure. Both of y'all have some good points. I'm not sure whose side I'm on. But believe me, if he goes to Ohio State, it won't necessarily be like leaving out of his environment. I think they've been in L.A. 3 years. The majority mm-hmm. of his life is in Ohio. So it isn't like he isn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's a good point on both of y'all part.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to say this in closing. He was his best in Ohio. Like, what's the other kid name? D. Wade's son was his best in Miami.
Points. Let us know what you guys think. And then before we go to break, Angel Reese officially declared for the WNBA draft, and she announced it with a Vogue photo shoot. So when asked why she did it in Vogue, she said, "Of course, I like to do everything big. I didn't want anything to be basic." So how do you guys think about the way that she announced it? And then what do you guys think about her declaring for the draft?
That's exactly what we was talking about. Like, you do everything big. So pause. Why wouldn't they take the criticism in a big way, since she did everything else big? This is amazing. Gila, I want to hear what you got to say to this. I think it's perfect that she did it with Vogue.
That's lit.
Of course it's lit, Stat.
More showmanship.
Yeah. That's lit.
Of course it's lit. I think personally, I mean, it's not really about the photo shoot. If you get a cover of any magazine that's credible, I'm always saying go for the cover. I only do covers. If it ain't the cover, I'm not involved. So I'm just something straight up. Niggas call me for interviews. If it's not the cover, I'm not involved. Shout to Black Enterprise Magazine. We got a photo shoot coming up. You know what I'm saying? End of the day, So I dig the covers. If it's the cover, get it. I really believe, my personal opinion is that her biggest rival is leaving too. You know, after last year, watching Angel Reese against Caitlin Clark, it was like, yo, I can't. I remember watching that game, championship game last year, and I was like, yo, these chicks coming back. Yo, they coming back. Oh shit! No, I can't wait to watch this next year. And then we actually got the game the following year, and Caitlin Clark won that game. You know, so those were two big games, and they were both great games. Both of them, they both did work both games each year. And I think, to me, that's her biggest rival in college basketball. To me, that may be her rival. That may be her Larry Bird to Magic Johnson, or that may be a young Michael Jordan against Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons. That may be her rivalry, and her rivalry is going. Caitlin Clark is out, so that may be some of the reason. But at the end of the day, she's making like close to $2 million. So somebody's in the air. Maybe she could make more money when she gets to the WNBA. But me personally, if I'm making that much money now and the highest paid player in the WNBA is making $265,000, I'm not sure about leaving. Me personally, I'm making more than what they're making now. But I guess she has her reasons. But as far as her doing it on the cover, I'm not knocking the cover. I'm not knocking no cover of anybody on a credible outlet. Period.
Yeah. I really agree with you on that. When it comes to Angel Reese, I think she's done everything she could do from a basketball sense in LSU. You know, she wins the championship last year and pretty much was a freshman of the year, pretty much on that team in 2001. So she's very storybooked in that university. But when I think about like seeing it in this Vogue, these are one of the things that brings her pressure, you know, is about the way she does things. She want to do things big, but you got to know that when you do things big and you grand and you do grandioso things, that people are going to, they're going to jump on you when it's bad the same way. So they used to tell you, if you don't want to be ridiculed highly, then don't be so flamboyant. You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying this because it probably will help her if she doesn't like the pressure. But this goes back to what I said. You can't escape it if you got such a big personality. You just have to grow into understanding that this other side is going to come with the things you're doing on this side. Because you're not going to be on a cover of Vogue or on that level. And when something goes wrong, people say it in a low voice, in a low tone. It's going to be as loud as the success. And I pray that she grows to the place where she can understand that and accept that, because it's a part of our journey.
Yeah. I feel like, and I can't say like, I feel like, because I don't know what she thinks, but I feel like she like understands that people are going to criticize her and stuff like that, because it's like, that is what happens when you're in the limelight. But it's like, I still think she's valid for not like, it's okay if she expresses that she doesn't like people saying certain things about her, because people do take things out of hand for everybody when anybody's doing something good. And so it's like, you know, when it comes to death threats and stuff like that, I just don't think that that is like, she should be like, yeah, I'm cool with getting that. Like, nobody should be cool with it.
Yeah, not the death threats.
That's what I'm talking about to that extent, because that's really like the main stuff that I feel like she's talking about.
She should call the cops for that.
I mean, and she's probably not going to call the cops. I'm not saying do all that, but I'm just saying I could see her just having a sort of frustration when people just, because we know how people can get in the world and we know where people take it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, and it's like, okay, if she breaks down, like I appreciate her vulnerability because, you know, people go through things and it's like, she can't mask her feelings forever. I'm just proud that, you know, she's declaring for the draft, hopefully in a kind of better situation. And I like that she's not having to minimize herself, because I just feel like we're told a lot in society to minimize herself and like, don't feel like you have to, like, she's allowed to be big. I'm proud of her for being on the Vogue cover. She's going to continue to do what she wants to do. Yes, she's going to face criticism, but I think that she does deserve just a little bit more support from people, like when you actually see that she's doing a good job. So that's just my point of view about it. Just because I just feel like some things are unnecessary, whether it's warranted, unwarranted, not, you know, however you feel about her. Shout out to her for still doing her thing, declaring for the draft, doing it that way.
Yeah, I don't feel any way about it. I'm just giving us sound advice because obviously generations don't have it. It's like Deion Sanders. I'm one of those people who are very over the top, but I understand what comes with it. So if I choose to take that approach, then I have to accept everything that comes with it, because it just comes with it. Not the death threats, but even that comes with it. Is people used to tell you that. It's just like if you're in the streets, a person says, you know, don't wear that mink coat to the fight. That's what they try to tell. What is his name? Nicky Barnes. If you wear the mink coat, you draw certain attention to yourself. The outcome is not going to be good. But you got to understand that when you do it. It's like every guy that goes out there and he's super flamboyant, he's super rich. Well, every time you're loud like that, you draw attention to yourself. And there's people that watch that, and their job becomes to tear you down. You ever heard they build you up to tear you down?
Mm.
And that's their whole job. It's like to see you fall from that height. Like while you're shining, it's like, yeah, let them shine, because everybody want to be like that. They want to be like you. But them same people that champion you, they tear you down.
Yeah.
In the same media.
Yeah, two things. It wasn't Nicky Barnes, it was Frank Lucas.
Frank Lucas.
And your stat. I like what you said. When Mason called the police, you was like, I ain't say all that. Basically, you told that nigga, I ain't on all that snitching shit. I like that. I would call the police. Nah, I ain't say all that.
I said she should call the police.
No, I really did.
That's the issue. I'm glad she said that. As long as when it happens, because when somebody's watching outside the door and she's talking about she needs somebody to walk her to her car.
That's very different. I don't even know what's going on, bro. It's a lot of stuff. But like I said,
I ain't say all that, man.
No, I believe every woman should call the police.
Yeah.
I believe she should. I stand by that. I wouldn't do it, but she should.
I wouldn't do it, but she should. Hey, man, do what makes you feel comfortable. As long as you are in a safe situation, that is not only that.
Look, Andrew's had a super good career too.
Yeah,
but dumb young guns is coming in. Usually, did you see what Gino Auriemma said to Juju Watkins after the game? You know. And he had like a little minute conversation with her, and they asked him in a press conference, what did you tell her? He said, I'm not going to lie. I told her she should leave this shit and go pro. She's a freshman. He said, I told her to go pro now. He's like, I love Lindsay, which is the head coach of USC. He said, I love her, but that girl got bigger fish to fry. That Gino Auriemma don't want her in college basketball no more. Nigga said, I got to deal with this for 3 more years. Nobody got time for this. These young girls is nice, and they up and coming, and look, some of them not going to be staying in college basketball for 4 years if they get the right check. Not in WNBA contract is up with collective bargaining agreement is up next year. So they're going to be renegotiating their contracts, and I believe more money will come in starting 2025. But at the end of the day, niggas don't even want certain freshmen playing no more. And I'm not saying Angel Reese is scared of them, but it's some new niggas coming in. Some new young ladies, man. That's really, really good.
Hey, y'all. We're going to go to break. And when we return, we will discuss the Grizzlies versus the Bucks. Don't go anywhere.
Pink horsepower. She called this thing the mouse toxic.
What's happening, man? Baby, what's happening?
Why are you walking like that?
That's how I walk.
And then, like, you come on breathing on me like that.
I fucking breathe to live.
And like, you used to be dark skinned and now you act like hella light skinned.
Are you fucking blind? I'm dark skinned. What the fuck?
And then like, look at your beard.
What the fuck is
your
wrong with my beard?
Stupid.
What the fuck are you talking about?
No, I don't even like it. The way you breathe in, all of that.
Has this ever happened to you? Your girl seems to be mad, angry, upset. She's frustrated. It's only one way to handle that.
Pink horsepower.
No.
But your breath is really refreshing.
No.
I'm just trying to give you a massage. Plus, have I told you how good your beard looks lately? It looks so good.
No.
PHP. It works every time.
Wait, where you going?
Welcome back. Now let's get into our Underdog Fantasy picks of the day. Tonight, Denver will play the Clippers. Underdog Fantasy has Jokic at 9.5 points. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
How much you have him
for? 9.5 points.
First quarter?
Just 9.5 points.
Higher.
Okay. Cam?
That sounds crazy.
It does, right?
Hi.
Okay.
I thought you were saying like...
Like first quarter? Maybe like something else. Yeah. Paul George is at 3.5 assists. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
Higher.
Okay.
Yep, higher.
Okay, and James Harden is at 15.5 points. Do you have him higher or lower, Cam?
Hi.
Okay.
They're giving this money away.
Download the Underdog Fantasy app and you can make your picks too. No, we're both like, huh? Like, okay. So the Grizzlies beat the Bucks 111-101. So I just got to ask, is this loss concerning to you, or do you feel like it's not that big of a deal because Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton are out?
Oh, that's good information, because I was about to say, they beat them without Ja with all of them present. That is a horrible night. But I don't think it's much to make of that if you're talking about Chris Middleton and Damian Lillard, mm-hmm. that's a lot of their scoring on a perimeter. If you take away 2/3 of the points off their team, I'm not sure they were supposed to win. Mm-hmm. That's not a surprise to me. What about you, Killer?
I mean, you lose some of these games. And you just say it's a game they're going to lose. I'm not sure their schedule. You blame it on back-to-back nights. You blame it on road trips. You blame it on all type of shit. Load management. People aren't playing, et cetera. But for certain teams, like we was talking about Phoenix the other day, for the Milwaukee Bucks, I think every game closing out is very, very, very important. Right now, they're in the second seed. But they're only 4 games out of the 6th seed. Five and a half games out of the 5th seed. And it's like 10, 11 games left, probably. So these games are important because if they go on, let's say, for instance, they go on a 4-game losing streak, not saying they are, and the Knicks, Miami, or Orlando go on a 4 or 5-game winning streak, you're from 2nd place to 6th place. And I think that's important for their seeding. Like, right now, they're literally a game and a half in front of Cleveland. They're literally only 2 games ahead of Orlando. They're two and a half games ahead of New York. So, to me, these games are important. I know it may not matter much right this second for them losing, but this has complications possibly on who you're going to play in the playoffs. So, if they don't care who they're going to play in the playoffs, that's one thing. But I can imagine you would want to be a 2-seed playing the 7th seed.
Okay. And then on a Tuesday in the Spurs versus Denver game, in which Denver won 110-105, the postgame interview, Jokic said, "Wemby got like 6-7 blocks out of me, but we won the game." So thoughts on Jokic's comments and then the 5-point gap between the win.
So it was another good game for Wemby. They're not equal in the wins, but of course he needs some help. But Joker still filled the stat sheet. Anything Wemby does is going to be magnified, you know. And I'm not saying he's not having good games.
That's
I'm
why I told you to go first. I was about to say, are you ready to give him his props?
No, I'm not. Like, yo, he's good. He's doing what a nigga who's 7'4" supposed to be doing. He should, but at the end of the day, we're not going to sit and act like the Joker ain't bust ass. The Joker's bust ass and he won. Well, I don't got it in front of me, but I'm going to get the Joker stats to see how much the Joker had. Because Joker bust ass, if I remember correctly, because this was the night before last.
Yeah, so.
That nigga bust his ass, man.
In that game, he had 42 points, 6 assists, and 16 rebounds.
42 and 16 rebounds.
Yeah,
against a nigga 7'4". I know he's young and he's skinny, and I know Stats going to say, "Yo, we got to give Wemby a shot. He's doing other things that other players have never done before." Nah, Joe got 42 and 16, nigga. You blocking my shot. I'm in the paint, nigga. You gonna block my shot? You 7'4".
Yeah, he can't jump over a can. Of course he gonna get those blocks.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, yes, Wemby is astronomical numbers, looking good. And I'm not really going to hate on him. It's not about not giving him his props. I think he's doing great, and he definitely needs help. He's going to need help down there, 100%. I think what San Antonio is doing is showing his talent, letting them get off so they could possibly get some players to come fuck with them when their contract is up this offseason. And not only that, they're not looking good, so they're going to get another good draft pick. Now, I don't know exactly who's coming out this year, pause, but they're going to get another good draft pick because their record is so terrible. So maybe they got some plans. I think this is more of a 2-3 year plan for San Antonio. But as far as giving him his props, I gave him his props, but you just doing what a nigga 7'4" is supposed to be doing.
Yeah, he's, how many points did Wimby have? Because we know Joker had 42, 16, and 6.
He had 23 points, 8 assists, and 15 rebounds.
23 and 15 is good, man.
Yeah. How good do you think you would be, Pause Killer, if you were 7'4"? I would be Elijah Muhammad if I was 7'4". I would be the gift of black people.
7'4". 7'4". You have to think about your life outside of basketball at 7'4". You got to duck to walk in every room. Yeah. You can't go to a friend's house and take a shower. Pause. Your life at 7'4" is kind of fucked up just walking around. So you need to make basketball the best priority because that's going to get you everything that you need to be 7'4". The big bed, so your feet ain't hanging off the bed. a house with high ceilings.
Yeah,
you gotta have the best life at 7'4".
You cannot do a 10-foot ceiling.
Yeah, because you can't even stretch your arms. Yeah, you can't stretch your arms. So at 7'4", Murder, I may have been the best pro coming from high school out of public school, straight there.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. Because at the end of the day, that's what I'm trying to say, is that his skill set is not to be argued with, not even a little bit. And I don't know, he may have a Steph Curry personality, but 7'4" with my personality or my attitude, or your attitude, I'm talking about as far as basketball is concerned, you would see it. You would know it. Nobody could fuck with me out here. What the fuck is it? My facial expression, you talking about niggas, that shit when niggas run down the court and be like, nigga, too little? All that is crazy,
smack
man.
And pause, nigga, shot like...
The fuck wrong? Yeah, then look at the crowd and say, what the fuck wrong with him?
Like
this. Like all that would be in effect if I was 7'4", B. Because that's your house for the rest of your life. That arena is your house. Even when they boo you, walk to the bench, Hulk Hogan, like this. Make them hate you and love you. That's how it go, my nigga.
Okay, and then before we wrap,
I like Murder, the nigga Drake had a line. I remember, I think it was summer 16. Yeah. And he said, the nigga said, how y'all let me even run it down here? I'm not even from around here.
Yeah.
That's what Wimby gotta get on.
That was a crazy bar too.
That bar was crazy.
I ain't even from around here.
How y'all let me run it down here? I ain't even from around here. That need to be Wimby attitude right there, nigga.
Okay, and then before we wrap, the Celtics beat the Thunder 135-100. So the main story is on the Celtics. They won its 11th consecutive home game and improved to 60-16 on the season to get its 14th 60-win season in franchise history. How do you guys feel about the Celtics run right now? Do you guys feel like it's too good to be true or is it legit?
I don't believe anything Celtics until postseason. I'm just letting you know. All of this is just water under the bridge. I can't count it, you know? I don't come from the Lakers of the regular season. I come from the three-time champion Lakers, the 5-time champion Lakers, like the 16-time champion Lakers. You know what I'm saying? Like people that win it repeatedly. Mm-hmm. So when you win in a regular season, all of these accolades, they're good, but they're like in season tournament trophies. You know, I don't count them. There's people who do. Don't ask me because my level of basketball is higher than that. Postseason.
Yeah, I agree. For everything Celtics is postseason. the last 2 years, I believe they got where they got because of inconsistency in the coaching department. And when I say that, the first year, well, Ndoka, you know, however you pronounce his name, no disrespect. Udoka. He was a new coach for them, and they made it to the championship. Last year, they got a new coach. They made it to the conference finals. This year, they have a consistent coach for 2 years straight, and we'll see where it goes from there. But it's championship for the Celtics, because not even just getting to the championship, it's win a championship, because y'all made it there the year before last, and I'm not going, and like I said, y'all the new coach last year, shit changes. But y'all have the talent, y'all are spending the money, y'all got the right core, could have got a good bench. This is y'all time. I mean, Denver's in everybody's way right now. So I hope Joker and Jamal Murray and the crew down there, Michael Porter Jr., don't really get on a Bulls dynasty. Like right now, if anybody in the NBA wants to stop this while these guys are young, you need to stop it this year, because it's going to just build up confidence for them. They win again this year, they're going to think they could win again the year after. If y'all don't want this to be a dynasty situation, because I see it in the Joker's eyes, like, oh, man, I got these niggas. Yeah. I know when to turn it up. I ain't even got to act crazy in the beginning no more. I got this NBA shit down packed now. I do all right the first 2 months, and I'm going to go crazy the last 3.5. Yeah, Murray, you going to say something?
Nah, you're right. He looked very unbothered. Like how people say unbothered. He like, come on, man.
Yeah.
I'm the only nigga out here like that.
He got the drink attitude. And it looked like the closer it gets to June or April, when the playoffs start, April, May, June, the more it looks like, all right, let me bust these niggas' ass so I can go home and have fun in my country as a champion. Because we can imagine everything we've seen with Joker over the summer, we talked about this before, didn't look like he had shit to do with basketball and he just was having fun. You got to imagine in Denver how he's treated if he goes out. When he goes back home to his country, he's probably a fucking king. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it looked like, all right, I'm getting restless. I want to go home. It's time to kill you niggas. I know what it's like to be a champ now, how they respect me, and I like that.
Seem like it's one guy that really feels like he want to say something about it, and that's SGA. He's the only one that give me the vibes that, you know what, this year I'm like that.
Right.
You know, everybody else seemed like they, we could win. We might win.
Yeah.
If all goes well, everybody stay healthy. Nobody's really taking it like, no, I'm taking us there. And SGA is the only one I see that's giving off that kind of energy.
That's a very fair point.
I agree with SGA, and I would like to add Luka to that.
Yeah.
Luka, he's another nigga that'd be like, why is niggas even out here, bro? Yo, what is niggas even doing out here, man? And to think about it, that we just said SGA, Luka and the Joker is the only three that off the top of the head we're thinking about it. None of them are American. None of them, bro.
That's crazy.
None of them, man. So these are the people who want to take it upon themselves to be like, yeah, man. Yeah,
we ain't even from around here.
Right.
We ain't even from around here, my nigga. And just real quick to add on to the game, this is another situation for OKC. Losing this game. This is two games they lost in a row, and they're in third place right now with one game out of being in first place in the West. So if you care about seeding, that matters. Now, look, in the West, people like OKC, and I'm not going to say the Timberwolves, and I'm not even going to put that on OKC. I'm pretty sure Denver don't care. But if you're in the one seed in the West, you could potentially play Golden State or the Lakers. And niggas may not want that. You know, so I'm not saying that Oklahoma City Thunder is ducking that, but they may want to take their chances with the New Orleans Pelicans if they can find their way in that slot. Better on than taking a dangerous Steph Curry, possibly. We don't know if LeBron's going to turn up. Do you niggas ain't got no playoff experience? So I'm not putting that on any franchise, but that's something to look at in the next few games as well.
Yeah, because realistically, these are the games that determine, is like you said. So that's a part of being naive and being young, not knowing that these games determine if you could very much be a championship team, because you're going to end up on the road instead of having home court all the way through.
Granted, though, SGA and Jalen Williams are injured right now. So maybe, you know, some things will be coming back soon. But let us know in the comments what you guys think about the Celtics run. I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say. But that is all the time that we have for today. Thanks for watching. And as always, it is what it is. Two big necks, like when they doing them 2 for 5.